Here we go. Today is the day we make it to the top of the south rim of the Grand Canyon. What a journey this has been. The last mile of this hike is unique compared to other hikes I've done, because as you're finishing, you're walking by hundreds of people, including kids and people not dressed at all for a hike. None of them have any idea the brutal journey you've been on. With every switchback and turn, we could see the visitor center and other buildings getting closer, and we couldn't wait to get to the top, turn around, and see where we came from, and feel the accomplishment of finishing. This was an incredible moment.
Well, here we are on this 24-day journey, and you're about to accomplish something great as well. The end of this experience might coincide with the ending of your trial or your valley, but the reality for a lot of you is probably that you still feel more like you're on mile 12 in the bottom of the canyon, if you're honest. You still feel like you're in the depth of your struggle, and that's okay. The purpose of this experience wasn't to try to fix our problems, ignore them, or get ourselves out of them, because we will face more in the days ahead. That's the reality of this life, is that there are mountaintop moments and there are valley moments. Sometimes I wish it just got easier and easier or better and better, but that's not the world we live in. So the greater practice we can learn is what we've been talking about for these 24 days. How do I build an altar in the midst of my circumstances? How do I find God? How do I walk in His peace and His strength and hope? We have a living hope. We have a perpetual peace. We can walk in these things no matter our external circumstances, because they aren't a thing or a feeling we can just lose. They're a person that never walks away, who's never overwhelmed or afraid of our circumstances. Listen closely. No problem is too small for Him to care, and no problem is too big for Him to be intimidated. God is infinite. When you face smaller trials, He's not off concerned with bigger problems. He's with you. When you face mountains unimaginable, He's not off doing more manageable things. He's with you. No problem is too small for Him to care, and no problem is too big for Him to be intimidated. So here's the moment you build your altar. People built altars all the way through the Bible, both physically and symbolically. They were a place of sacrifice, a place of worship, and a place of remembrance. Another word for sacrifice is surrender. You've seen this white flag theme all the way through the experience. What is your white flag? Where have you felt the need to let go and allow God to take control? So an altar is first and foremost a place of worship and surrender. It's saying, God, you know best and I trust you. It's a choice. It might not be an easy one, but it is a choice we can always make. You may relate to the words of the song Altar in the Valley when it says, when I don't have the faith to trust you and I don't have the strength to praise you. You may find yourself in that place right now, and I'm sure you'll find yourself in that place in the future. But choose worship. Choose to look to Him. You know why this is possible? It's what you were created to do. And it's not based on how you feel or the external circumstances around you. It's based on who He is, and that never changes. King David worshipped in a cave, fleeing for his life. Paul and Silas worshipped in a prison cell. What's your story of resilient worship? Where's your place of surrender, sacrifice, and praise? Now, the other aspect of building an altar in the valley that we see in the scriptures and that we've talked about throughout this journey is an altar of remembrance. There's a reason altars are always built using stones and not sticks. Altars are built to last. This altar that you've built is made to last through not just this trial, but the next one and the next one. Just like the Israelites built the altar in Joshua chapter 4 after God miraculously dried the Jordan River and allowed them to cross, we can build an altar that we look back on to see God's power and faithfulness. So now I'm going to walk you through a time of reflection and a moment to build your altar that you can look back to for strength and faith in this trial and future trials to come. By the end of this day, you will have your own altar statement. This altar statement is something you can memorize, write down, and use continually to focus your attention on God and give you strength in your moment of need. The first part of this statement is recognizing your place of need, the trial in your life where you need to surrender. This is different for everyone. For you, it could be in my depression, in my anxiety, in my loneliness, my fear, heartbreak, betrayal. Try to bring it down to one simple word. And you may need to think deeper about this. What's the real core of what you're facing right now? I'll give you a moment to think about this. It may be an external circumstance that's happened to you, but it also might be an internal struggle that is at the root of what you're feeling. Pray right now and ask God to reveal to you your deepest place of need right now. Okay, so now you've narrowed that down to one word. Hang on to that word. Now let's continue to the next part of your altar statement. What is one word or attribute of God that you have found during this experience? How has He revealed Himself to you? What is the attribute of God that you've been clinging to most during this experience? How have you experienced Him in the most real way? It could be that He is present, He's faithful, He's powerful, He's the healer, comforter, He's good. There are obviously so many right answers, but again, go deeper. What is the core attribute of God that has given you the most hope during the trial you've been facing? I'll give you another moment for you to think and reflect on this now. Okay, now that you have one word for your trial you've faced and a corresponding word about God, fill it into this statement. In my, and fill it in with your word about your trial, God is, and fill that in with the word about God. In my, God is. Maybe for you it's, in my betrayal, God is faithful. In my loneliness, God is present. In my anxiety, God is peace. Repeat that to yourself a few times with your words filled in. Now the last part of your altar statement is to say, "So I choose to worship." The purpose of this statement is to build an altar in our hearts that says, in the midst of my trial, this is who God is, and that's why I can worship. I can worship because I know who He is. So now say that full statement to yourself three times. In my, God is, so I choose to worship. Now as we sing Altar in the Valley, worship God for who you found Him to be during this experience. Even if you still lack strength and faith, choose to worship Him for who He is.
In shadows wake, in blackened eyes, You hold the rod that guides my steps. When I'm tossed among the wind, Your promise never dims. Though the seasons pass away, Your goodness never fades. And so I choose to build an altar in the valley. With every stone on You are with me. Until I see face to face, and every tear is wiped away, I'll make the choice to say I love You through this pain. I'll build an altar in the valley. When questions rain and doubts arise, You hold the star that lights my path. When the horizon veils its face, Your nature doesn't change. When the present clouds the end, but You are worthy even then, I'll build an altar in the valley. With every stone, oh, You are till I see You face to face, and every tear is wiped. I'll make the choice to say I love you through this pain. I'll build an altar in the valley. I'll build an altar in the valley. Step by step, Lord, I will follow you here today. You'll still be tomorrow when I don't have the faith to trust you. Still I choose to storm my storm. This is my offering. All my heart sifting through suffering. When I don't have the strength to praise you, still I choose to. When I don't have the faith to trust you, still I choose to. When I don't
We have reached the summit. The view from the south rim of the Grand Canyon is spectacular, and it feels even more amazing knowing that we have just hiked down, across, and ascended out of the canyon, covering over 24 miles and just over 5,000 feet of total elevation gain. Now we're standing on the mountaintop. Over the past 24 days, we have built an altar in this valley. We have chosen to worship God in spite of our worry. We have decided to look to Him in our lowest moments. We have identified with Him in His suffering and found that He is forever loving, forever with us, and forever our hope. Although your situation may still be the same, and you may continue to battle through the valley, we want to encourage you to take heart and press on in faith, to cling to Jesus knowing that His mercies are new every day, and you can hold to the altar statement that you created today. In my, God is, so I choose to worship. The Altar in the Valley experience is all about discovering how God is great and worthy of our worship, both in the valley and on the mountaintop. In 1 Kings chapter 20, there is a story of two battles where God fights for His chosen people to prove to the world that He is the God who reigns over all things and that His sovereign power is not limited to or confined to any one location or sphere of influence. King Ben-Hadad of Aram mobilized his army and joined forces with 32 allied kings and their soldiers, chariots, and horses. They all besieged Samaria, the capital city of Israel at the time, and launched attacks against it. King Ahab of Israel didn't stand a chance against this vast army, but God intervened. 1 Kings 20, verse 13 says, "Then a certain prophet came to see King Ahab of Israel and told him, 'This is what the Lord says. Do you see all these enemy forces? Today I will hand them all over to you. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' And God did fight for them. Israel won an impossible battle that day. But the story doesn't finish there, as the same prophet warns King Ahab that the king of Aram will come back again next spring. Verse 23 says, "After their defeat, Ben-Hadad's officers said to him, 'The Israelite gods are gods of the hills. That is why they won. But we can beat them easily on the plains.'" These ancient pagan nations commonly believed that different gods would have domain over certain areas on the earth. They believed that Israel's God was God in the hills, and if they could only move the battle to the plains, then they would win easily. The following spring came, and the battle lines were drawn once again, just as the Lord's prophet had predicted. The enemy army was so large across from Israel's army that the author of the passage says they looked like two tiny flocks of goats in comparison. But this was the perfect opportunity for God to show that He reigns over every place on earth, every hill, every valley. Verse 28, "Then the man of God went to the king of Israel and said, 'This is what the Lord says. The Arameans have said, the Lord is a God of the hills and not of the plains. So I will defeat this vast army for you. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' The two armies camped opposite of each other for 7 days. And on the seventh day, the Lord fought for Israel and defeated this large army once again. God proved to the world that there is no place or circumstance on earth where He does not reign. He is the God of the hills and God of the valleys. Friends, as we stand on the summit today, we want to encourage you that He is with you in every season, and He wants to meet you in every place. He is God in and through your valleys, and He is God when He brings you to the mountaintop. As you press on from this experience, may you live with full assurance of faith and confident hope, knowing that God is worthy of your worship in the hills and the valleys. You have built this altar in the valley. When you feel like you're fighting and struggling to go on, you can tell your fight who your God is.
Though I don't see it, yeah, you're working for my God. When fear wages war, I'm sure of who you are. So I will tell my fight, my God will bring what's dead to life. To your promise, I'm living in your goodness, and I'm standing in this confidence. You won't fail me. Cause every single word you've spoken will come to pass. Will come to pass. You're the one who's always in control. And I know, though I don't see it, yeah, you're working for my good. When fear wages war, I'm sure of who you are. So I will tell my fight, my God will bring what's dead to life. Faith in you alone. Wherever I go, your presence is home. With you right beside me, your face the unknown. All of my trust, all of my hope, all of my faith in you. Wherever I go, your presence is home. With you right beside me, your face the
As we come to the end of this experience, we trust you've been deeply impacted and developed a habit of being with Jesus. Now you've created your altar statement, in my, God is, so I choose to worship. The powerful thing about this altar statement is that you can memorize it and recite it to yourself and find scriptures that back it up. You can remind yourself of this altar statement in every trial and mountaintop moving forward. This isn't just some made-up thing. You've experienced it for yourself. It's not a statement made of sticks that will blow away at the next gust of wind. It's made of stones, and you can look back at it the rest of your life.
Here's a way to continually remember this altar statement and the accomplishment of completing this experience. Just like you receive a medal at the end of a race, or you purchase a memorable item at the gift shop of the Grand Canyon, we have created a series of finisher's medals for you to get for yourself. You can choose from a series of items such as a sticker, mug, journal, water bottle, and others that have our finishing phrase, "I built an altar in the valley."
These are designed to be everyday reminders of your altar statement. These items not only will act as an altar for you, but will also allow more people to be impacted by this experience. All profits from these items will go directly to reaching more people in need of this resource. You can find the store link at the bottom of today's page.
We want to see people all around the world find God's presence and peace through this experience. You can make this happen by purchasing these items and sharing Altar in the Valley with the people you know. Now we would like to end by praying a blessing over you as you continue to walk with God and draw closer to Him daily. God, we praise you in every season. We believe that you are the God of the hills and the God of the valleys. We thank you for your endless mercy and your grace that gives us the strength to continue on.
And God, I pray over all my friends who have decided to follow you and trust you in the valley of the shadow of death. May we be people who truly fear no evil because our eyes are fixed on you. You are our hope, you are our peace, and we choose to worship you.